Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What is up, everyone? Welcome in. It is another edition of Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio, I am your host, coming to you from an undisclosed location. Once again, I am not in my apartment in New York City, totally not there, but ready to bring you a huge edition of the show this week because we have a big fight coming up. Chocolatito, Roman Gonzalez, Juan Francisco Estrada, the rematch, 8 years in the making, three belts are on the line. The Ring Magazine, of course, on the line as well. Huge matchup. Joining us on the show to break it all down, a man that will be there in attendance calling the fight for Matchroom, Chris Algieri, one of the best broadcasters today, a former champion at 140 pounds. We'll break down that fight extensively, as well as David Benavidez, who's in action over on Showtime. If you're watching this show over on Pluto TV on the Boxing Channel, channel 728, thank you very much. You can catch it every single Thursday, and it has a ton of re-airs as well as the Fubo Sports Network. So we're streaming. You can get this show on many different streaming accounts. You can also listen to it on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Also watch it on our YouTube page, CompuBox TV. So there's many ways to get Inside Boxing Live into your life. In addition to Roman Gonzalez and David Benavidez, there's also a rematch. Cecilia Breakhouse and Jessica McCaskill, women's boxing in the forefront. International Women's Month, International Women's Day. I just got back from Flint, Michigan. I was hosting the Clarissa Shields, Mary F. DeCare pay-per-view. That was a blast. Thank you to everyone who bought the pay-per-view. Thank you to everyone who sent me messages, very nice messages about hosting that pay-per-view. It was awesome. Women's boxing is starting to get the push that it deserves. In addition to Roman Gonzalez, Francisco Estrada, Juan Francisco Estrada, David Benavidez is in action this weekend. David Benavidez, you know, is going to be looking to make a statement this weekend. He lost his belt the last time we saw him on the scales. It is the second time he lost his WBC belt. Not only that, he's in the Canelo Alvarez sweepstakes. And Benavidez is saying all the right things. He may not actually be able to execute what he's saying, but he's saying all the right things. He's saying, I want to come out and make in a spectacular fashion and knock out Ronald Ellis. He says that I want to earn my shot with Canelo. Not sit back and wait. I want to earn it. He's calling out Jermall Charlo. He's calling out Caleb Plant. He's calling out some of the other guys at 168 and 160, the bigger names. He's not going to sit back and wait for Canelo to choose him. He's going to go out there and make it a point where Canelo has no choice but to fight him. That's what I like about David Benavidez. In addition to that, the guy is just one of the most gifted offensive fighters in boxing today. He ranks number one at 168 pounds and punches thrown per round at 69. A guy that size throwing 70 punches around is terrifying. He also leads 168 pounds in power punches landed per round with 17. On top of it, he has the highest jabs per round at 7. So the guy, literally all facets of the game, David Benavidez is there, including plus minus. He ranks third in all of boxing with a plus 15 plus minus. Hit and don't get hit. One small criticism for David Benavidez is he's turned into a little bit of a headhunter. The CompuBox average for a percentage of punches thrown to the body is 29%. He's down there at 20%. We've seen this in some of his fights recently. He tries to go for that spectacular knockout. He feels like there's a lot of pressure to get those spectacular knockouts. So he goes a little bit, he starts headhunting. Want to see him go to the body a little bit more against Ronald Ellis. But I think David Benavidez wants to prove a point. He wants to get back into that Canelo sweepstakes. I'm looking for him to make a huge statement on Saturday night versus Ronald Ellis. All right, we got to get to Chris Algieri. We're going to break down the Roman Gonzalez versus Juan Francisco Estrada. Here it is. All right, it's time to bring our guest in this week. You know him, Chris Algieri, former champion at 140 pounds, current broadcast extraordinaire. You can catch him ESPN, catch him Matchroom, catch him literally everywhere. Chris, one thing about you, man, is you might be the most beloved broadcaster these days, because that's a tough thing. It's a tough crowd out there. The Twitter world is rough, but every time I go on there, I say, man, Chris Algieri is on the telecast. He's making good points. So you got that. That's a great thing, man.
Yeah, I feel like I might be doing something wrong if everyone likes me. It's very strange from the social media world that we live in.
Yes, especially the boxing world where no one has anything good to say, especially about the commentators. But you bring an ex-fighter's stance to the telecast. And, they had you running around like crazy on that undercard, what you'll be doing this weekend when we talk about Chocolatito and Estrada. That's tough, man. That's a tough thing, running around, from the host position with Eddie to calling the fight to post-fight interviews. That's got to be a little tough.
Yeah, honestly, it wasn't that bad because we're in a bubble. So I'm like, I'm here. So whatever you want me to do, I'd rather do this than to be sitting in my room looking at my feet. So, put me to work. I have a hustler mentality. So I'm from New York. I'm used to just doing work. So
there we go. Two Long Islanders here chatting it up. Big fight this weekend. Wanted to get you on to talk about it. You'll be there in Dallas for the rematch. 8 years in the making. Chocolatito Roman Gonzalez going up against Juan Francisco Estrada. Three belts on the line. Fans are jazzed up. That's another thing. Getting fans to all come together, especially boxing fans. There's not a lot of fights that can do that get everyone excited because it's such a fragmented sport. But this is one fight that's going to do it. And we were texting back and forth setting up this interview, and you said, let's see if Chocolatito has one more war in him. And to me, that's what this fight is all about, is both guys have had a lot of mileage on their odometer. Look at Chocolatito, 33 years old, over 50 fights. Estrada, over 40 fights. Estrada's last fight was a lot tougher than Chocolatito's last fight. Who's the fresher fighter, in your opinion?
I think momentum is on the side of Estrada at this point, just from where their first match happened. At that point, Chocolatito was really on the rise. He was considered, one of the pound for pound best in the world at the time. But that fight, I went back and watched it again recently when, I was getting ready kind of for this fight this weekend. And my God, that was a hell of a fight. And, they were neck and neck in the beginning. And then Chocolatito just pulled away with his experience at that point. But since then, Estrada has been on a fantastic tear. Beating some very, very top competition. His last fight, like you said, that Cuadras fight where he got dropped, I think in the third. Cuadras is no pushover, and for him to stop him, late in the fight, I think it was 10 or 11. That's really impressive, even to come back from that knockdown. So, it's like you said, Chocolatito's last fight was easier compared to Estrada's last fight, but I think on a whole, I think Estrada may be more on an upswing career-wise than Chocolatito.
So do we just throw out the rematch? I mean, the first fight, because it was 8 years ago. Chocolatito was 30 years old, had a little more power, had less wars in him, hadn't faced the Rung Vasais, and what we saw what happened with that. And Estrada was only like 22, 23 years old. I know he had 27 fights at the time, but this is why this fight there's so many storylines, there's so many layers to peel back. Sometimes you take a look at the rematch of the first fight, but can you do that in this fight?
I mean, I hope not, because the whole reason that we're excited about this fight is because the first fight was so damn good. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be able to throw it out. And I don't really think you can, because, it still is these two men getting back in the ring. And certain parts of their styles have changed, but their genetic makeup in terms of what they are in the ring hasn't. So I do expect a war. I do expect them to do a lot similar to what they did in the first fight. I think Estrada's probably made more changes in terms of his style. He doesn't throw quite as many punches. He sets his feet a little more. I'm curious to see if the weight matters. I think they're up 8 pounds from the first fight. And like you said, Chocolatito had more power in the first fight. I wonder who's going to carry their power or their chin at the higher weight better. Cause that could really spell, what this fight could turn into.
Yeah, that's a good point, because Chocolatito's had those heavy hands early on. Not so much anymore. We know they're going to throw punches, but it's interesting to me, is Estrada going to throw 80 and 90 to match Chocolatito? Because I thought that Yafai's biggest mistake was he tried to like box Chocolatito. He only threw 50 punches around. You can't beat Chocolatito by throwing 50 punches around. You almost have to fight fire with fire. So. Mm-hmm. I think Cuadras has the power edge, and I also think that Estrada has the power edge. And I also think that what Estrada has going for him is he throws volume. Like we saw in that first fight, he was throwing over 100 punches per round in rounds 9 through 12, which is just absurd. But you take a look at his entire career, he throws a ton of punches. So you almost have to fight fire with fire if you're Estrada, talking about the game plan.
It's funny. They're both busy. They both throw a lot of punches, but Estrada's different. He throws, gorgeous combinations. and he throws them, you know, he can step in, bang, 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 bang. He throws that 1-2, that lead uppercut that comes back with the, you know, with the right hand left hook. And then he can kind of move around. I think that's what he needed to do more in the first fight. A lot of times he would stop right in front of Chocolatito and be there for the receipt, as they like to say. But Chocolatito, he needs to get going. He's kind of a rhythm, you know, combination puncher.
Yeah.
He lets his hands go beautifully as well, but he's more on the inside, cutting boom, 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 where I think Estrada is more the guy who can step in, fire a combination, and then step off. But in the first fight, he went backwards a lot, and that was actually where Chocolatito was able to land a lot of his big shots, just cutting him off as he's pulling out straight with his head up in the air.
Yeah, I was just watching your preview with Jesse Vargas. Really good stuff. Something that you just illustrated right there. But let's talk about Raul Gonzalez, just him, just his career and how absurd his career it is and how unconventional it really is in a day and age where every career, I feel like now, is so carefully curated. I don't think we're going to see another guy like this. You know, turn pro at 18. By age 21, he's a world champion. You know, 6 years ahead of that to age 27, he's a pound-for-pound number one. And then by 30, he's considered done. After the Rungvisai knockout, he's considered washed, his whole career written off. Now he's at age 33. He wins a title. He's back. He can potentially unify now at age 33. I mean, that right there is something special for Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, a career that has a lot of layers. And I think that's why a lot of fans are gravitated towards him, because every fan and just the human nature loves a comeback.
You know, I think you nailed it right on the head there. You know, we don't see guys like that. We may never see a guy like that. He's a true throwback to the era of stay busy, fight a lot. You know, taking a loss doesn't mean you're done. Getting knocked out doesn't mean you're done. You know, we live in this world where if like you don't have an O, like you're written off completely. Mm-hmm. And Chocolatito has kind of flipped that on its head, especially in these last couple of years, the way he's come back. But in terms of him as a fighter, he's literally one of my favorite fighters to watch. I mean, what he does in there is, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's, you know, art.
It's art. It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's a beautiful thing to see. You know, I've used this term before for other fighters. It's like a symphony of violence. And this guy is like, he's so on point and so on rhythm and so on cue. And his little defensive maneuvers on the inside are a thing that every young fighter should study.
Going back to just where he is today, you know, he's fought four times since that Rungvisai loss where he was knocked out cold. And, you know, I'll say right now, I thought he was finished too. He just didn't look like had it anymore. His fit, his body language was just not there even entering the ring. But he's had four fights since Rungvisai. He had two tune-ups. He had the Yafai fight, and he had the last fight with Israel Gonzalez. But you take a look at the numbers, he's still the same fighter. That's what's incredible. Like, take a look at Pacquiao, who's maybe someone you can kind of compare in terms of you know, their careers arcs and all the fights and the wars that they've been in. Pacquiao doesn't throw 80 punches around anymore. Pacquiao throws 50 punches around because Pacquiao knows he's economical. He knows when to get in and get out. The fact that Chocolatito is back at age 33 and still throwing close, he's number one. He throws the most punches per round of any fighter, close to 90 punches a round. So that just shows me this guy's a freak.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the Pacquiao comparison is a good one. Also, I think with Pacquiao, he can't throw the combination punches anymore because of the weight classes that he's in.
That's true.
You know, he's gone up so much. You can't throw that many punches at welterweight or you know, he's fought as high as junior middle. Guys can crack there. You know, it's not like the lower weights where these guys, they're all busy. And Chocolatito can punch. He wasn't a Pacquiao type puncher. But yeah, no, it's pretty amazing to see someone be that busy at this age, or this, what is considered an advanced age because of his weight class, at 33. But, yeah, no, he is absolutely a freak of nature. You know, I think his entire career, whether you're looking at how young he was when he won his titles, how young he was when he was considered pound for pound, or how old he is, you know, looking at, you know, this resurgence.
Are you edging anyone here? I know a lot of fans are want Chocolatito. He holds such a special place in their hearts because of everything we just talked about for the past few minutes. But, you know, this is a true 50-50 fight. This is what gets fans excited. This is what boxing is all about. And I've seen going on Twitter, and I see people making a case for Chocolatito. But I feel like a lot of fans and media are kind of sleeping on Estrada, a little fresher, probably a little more power. Gonzalez, you know, we've seen him hit the deck and very poorly, but you know, Estrada is a guy that we kind of have to keep an eye on in this fight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm one of those nostalgic fans that, like I said, does he have one more, you know, one more big fight. Does he have one more big war in him? I want Chocolatito to win. I'm, like I said, I'm a huge fan. I love watching him work. But I do lean towards Estrada in this fight. I think that, you know, their career arc since the first fight is very different. And I'm super impressed with Estrada's, you know, combination punching and his, you know, he's kind of brought up his power. And like I said, for him to stop Quadras, you know, that was really impressive to me because Quadras is a hell of a fighter.
He knocked him down twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and really put the you know, the finishing touches on the, you know, I think when they fought twice.
Yeah.
I believe. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, and for him to, and he also, he's, you know, he's beaten the guys that Chocolatito has, you know, he lost to and also struggled with at times. So, yeah, styles make fights. You know, maybe this will turn out to be another war, but I do believe that Quadras, like I said, has made adjustments to his style since the first fight. So I do lean towards him, but it's still a 50-50 fight.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's so intriguing. I mean, there's so many layers, so many, you can just peel back this onion. And that's why I think fans are so into it because, I mean, when do you see a rematch 8 years in the making? It's just that right there is absurd. We just went through Chocolatito's whole career. I think a lot of fans want Chocolatito to win, but you know, the power of Estrada is really sticking in the back of my mind. And I want to see a war, but I would not be shocked if you see a stoppage. I would not be shocked there. But another fight this weekend over on Showtime, David Benavidez. Talk about another offensively gifted fighter. Two of the most offensively gifted fighters in boxing are fighting this weekend. David Benavidez throws the most punches at 168. He lands the most power shots. He has he lands the most jabs at 168. He has a really high plus minus, hit and don't get hit. This is a guy that I think was going to go in there this weekend and look to shine because he lost his title. He wants Canelo. He's just a guy that wants to go in there and cause damage. Your thoughts on David Benavidez?
I'm super impressed with David Benavidez. And like you said, he throws the most punches at 160, but he's a power puncher. A power puncher, a guy at that size to let his hands go the way he does. That's a testament to his conditioning, a testament to his balance and his ability to let those hands go like the way he does. And he gets the stoppages too. You know, he's a heavy-handed guy. You know, and when he's got you hurt, he smells that blood and he goes for it. Again, I think he's one of the top dogs, you know, at that weight class. And he's a guy that I would be interested to see Canelo fight. You know, I want to see Canelo fight a bunch of people, but he's a guy that I think could potentially give him real problems.
Yeah, I ask every guest now that comes on now because it's like every fighter between 160, 168, you can even go up to 175. They want to go down to 168 is in the Canelo sweepstakes. And yeah. What fighter out there, in your opinion, gives Canelo his toughest test?
You know, I would love to see. I mean, Billy Joe Saunders is no joke. You know, and they got that fight coming up. I was a big proponent for him being the guy that could have really, you know, given Canelo trouble. But I've recently gone back and looked at some tapes in his last couple fights, and there are some things that I see that are going to play into Canelo's hands, which kind of make me change my mind a little bit. But I do think a guy like Benavidez, because he's a tank. You know, he's a big guy, comes forward and he throws his hands. You know, he's going to put pressure. But Canelo's good at fighting bigger guys. You know, he's really, you know, his hand speed, his defense gives people a lot of trouble. I think a guy like Bubu Andrade, because we've seen problems with southpaws in the past.
Yeah.
And Bubu is a long, strong, athletic, and awkward, you know, a fighter. You know, he's got good power. He's got great balance. He's got that southpaw position. He's slick. He doesn't get hit a lot. So, you know, he's a guy that I would love to see Canelo and see how he would deal with that style. Because Demetrius has a style that literally no one in the world has. You know, he's a very unique fighter. So I would love to see that matchup.
Yeah, there's so many good matchups, and everyone's so fixated on, like, Canelo's only fighting these European guys. When is he going to fight Charlo? When is he going to fight Benavidez? When is he going to fight Andre? But he's 30 years old. Pretty sure there's a year after this, knock on wood, and a year after that. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities for these fighters. David Benavidez is one of those. I really think he's going to try to put on a show. He's going to look to take out Ronald Ellis over on Showtime. Another guy is Caleb Plant, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this. It's something I've been putting out there, social media, and it gets a lot of response from the fans. You know, Caleb Plant is, or I should say, Canelo has let it be known that I want to unify the titles. He kind of, you know, he put his hand out there. I want to unify the titles, and Caleb Plant has one of the belts. He just fought recently. Maybe he had a little of a hand injury. Can you really fault Caleb Plant if he sits out between now in September and waits for that call for Canelo, waits for that payday? Or do you think he should go out there, take another fight, whether it be another tune-up type of fight? This, you know, iron sharpens iron. I believe that. What are your thoughts on the whole Caleb Plant, Canelo situation?
I say sit out.
Wait
for that Canelo fight.
That's what I said.
Mean, coming off a hand injury, even if you fight a quote-unquote tune-up guy, you know, the risk of injury and hurting your hand is there, you know, and it's boxing. Anything can happen. You know, he's got the ticket, like you said, that everybody wants. You know, he's gonna be able to fight Canelo. He's got the title. He's got a reason for Canelo to make that fight happen. And it's not that far away. You know, I don't know where he's at in his recovery for his hand and whatnot. But I think being cautious at this point is not the worst idea.
Yeah, listen, you've been there, man. You know what it's like. You fought Pacquiao. That's the biggest fight you could make right there. It's a payday. You guys step into that ring. You put your life on the line. You want to do it and get rewarded financially as well as the glory that comes with winning that type of fight. You really can't fault a guy. You ask any guy on the street, any boxing fan, they'd probably do the same thing because it doesn't come around that often. You can fight a guy like Canelo, and like you said, it's only September. And this guy has put in a lot of work. We know he comes from Tennessee where, you know, things were tough for him. That dude's had a really, really tough upbringing. And now he can, not only just for him, but his entire team, you know, his trainer, his manager, his everyone that's been with him since day one. So I'm interested in seeing what happens with Canelo. I'm interested in seeing this weekend. You'll be down there, Dallas, Texas. I'm very jealous. I think a lot of fans are jealous. This is the one fight. I'm happy there's going to be fans there because I think that this is the type of fight that needs that environment. Ideally, this would probably be in like Southern California, Subhub Center, where everyone will be going absolutely berserk. But there'll be fans there. We'll hear the roar of the crowd. You'll be running around for match room. Are you enjoying it, man? I feel like you're enjoying this broadcast life suits you well.
Yeah, no, I do enjoy it. I miss people punching people in the face and getting paid for it. But this is I get a chance to. I love fighters. I love boxers. I love fighters. Yeah. I love this sport. Mm-hmm. So I get to meet and talk to all these guys. You know, leading up to the fights. You know, do the fire meetings, interview them at the fight sometimes, call their fights, and literally I get the best seat in the house.
Yep.
And everybody listening has to listen to what I have to say. So
that's great, man.
Not the worst gig.
No, it is. I love doing it as well for all the reasons you named. You're gonna get back in there, man. I feel like every time we do the interview, you gotta ask. And we want to see you back in the ring. What's the latest?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still got it. I've been in the gym. I just came from the gym just now. You know, if I'm sparring, then I'm looking to fight. So there's a lot of good opportunities that are starting to materialize in this post-COVID world. So, you know, the pandemic really messed up.
Oh my God.
I mean,
yeah.
It's stupid to even say it at this point, but it's messed up a lot of things for a lot of people. But there's a lot of new things opening up as opportunities that are all over.
Let's do it. Chris Algieri this Saturday, he'll be on the call for Matchroom. He'll be there ringside. Big fight this weekend. A lot of big fights this weekend. Always. The boxing schedule is heating up. Appreciate the time, Chris Algieri.
Anytime, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Special thanks to Chris Algieri. Always brings it. These Long Islanders, man. From one Long Islander to the next. That was good. I appreciate Chris Algieri. He'll be there for Roman Gonzalez, Juan Francisco Estrada. Another fight where you can confidently tell your non-boxing fan friends to tune in and not be totally embarrassed. There's a lot of those fights coming up. The boxing schedule is really starting to heat up next week. Virgil Ortiz and Mo Hooker. We also have Dillian White and Povetkin rematch. Then we get into April, which is loaded. May is absolutely jam-packed. Jose Ramirez versus Josh Taylor. Canelo, BJ Saunders, Teofimo, Haney versus Linares. So many big fights coming up. And don't forget, after the fight, Roman Gonzalez versus Juan Francisco Estrada, I'll be going live on Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. As always, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week for another edition of Inside Boxing Live.